Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Portobello Group's conference call to discuss the results for the third quarter 2025. This conference is being recorded and the replay will be available at the company's website, ri.portobello.com.br. The presentation is also available for download. Please note that all participants will be in listen-only mode during the presentation. Ensuing this, we will begin the Q&A session when further instructions will be provided. The presentation will be conducted in Portuguese with simultaneous translation into English. Before proceeding, please bear in mind that forward-looking statements made herein are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Portobello Group management and on information currently available to the company. Such statements involve risks and uncertainties as they refer to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors, analysts, and journalists should be aware that factors related to macroeconomic environment and others may differ materially from those expressed in the forward-looking statements. Participating in today's conference are Mr. John Suzuki, the Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Caio Gonçalves de Moraes, Executive VP of Finance and Investor Relations, and Ms. Suel Antoniani James, Investor Relations Coordinator. I will now turn the floor over to Mr. John Suzuki. Good afternoon to all of you. I would like to thank all the people participating today. It's a pleasure to speak about another quarter, the third quarter 2025. I'm going to begin by stating that once again, we present a quarter that shows the consistency of the strategy the group has adopted for some years, as well as the consistency of results in each of our business units, especially when we look at the market that we had in the third quarter. We're living in a market that globally and specifically in the USA and Brazil has been losing its power, and it begins to point towards drops when compared with the same quarter last year. In Brazil, we have the wet installation segment where we see negative figures here as well as in the USA. And because of the market effect, we have that tariff shock in the USA, which of course has a significant impact, and we will share more of that information. It has a relative impact not only in the Brazilian market that exports to the USA, but also in the results of our business in units more connected to Portobello America. Despite all of this, we present consistent results, be it from the viewpoint of revenue, growth, and market share, as well as from the viewpoint of profitability. We have been repeating this in our financial management with our free cash flow. Because of the moment that we are undergoing with a higher leverage and with an increase in financial expenses, Caio will speak about this in greater detail. For successive quarters, we have a good level of free cash flow, and this is the direction we are following. Now, all of this permits a good outlook for the company, although we see a harsher market looking forward because of the macroeconomic scenario. I'll give the floor to Caio to share those details with you. Good afternoon to all. Thank you, John. Here we see the North American market in the ceramic tiles consumption. We had a drop of 5% in the second quarter, but this is not the only important data. What is more relevant, and that is not very simple, is that the North American market is 70% importer. Now, what happened with that tariff shock when the US government announced the tariffs in April? They announced a tariff for all countries. Brazil, at that moment, had 10% of tariffs. In this movement, there was a term of 90 days for importers to adjust to this. What happened? There was this race to anticipate purchases from countries impacted by the higher tariffs. This led to a higher stock in the chain, hampering countries like Brazil, specifically Brazil, that had an increase in tariffs after this had happened. So in the short term, Brazil started to work with logistic chains, thinking about stock, but we also thought of other strategies to export products to the USA. And in the long term, as well as in the short term, it reinforces our decision of having a plant in the USA. This gives us greater ability to continue on with this strategy to implement and localize our products. In the next slide, we speak about Brazil. In the case of Brazil, we see a market that is segmented, dry installation, wet installation. Now, the sales are also dropping here in the quarter, a drop of 1.7% for wet production, 2.7% for dry production. Now, an indicator that is very important when the market presents an idleness of 25%. In Brazil, we're working at full capacity. Now, this is a differential that will be maintained vis-à-vis the market. Now, if we move on to the company's operational performance, as mentioned previously, the business environment continues to be very challenging in the USA and Brazil. Now, disregarding this, we have increased the revenues 3.5% vis-à-vis the third quarter 2024. All business lines grew compared to the third quarter 2024. Now, were it not for these tariffs, the growth would be 9%, and the revenue coming from these exports would have represented 26% of total revenue, a slight drop compared to the previous quarter, but this is the level we have observed in the last quarters. As mentioned before, all of our business units presented growth. Now, Portobello itself grows 3.6% versus the third quarter 2024, with a highlight for exports that grew 12%. Portobello Shop with a growth of 1.7% because of the brand strength and the premium portfolio. Now, a slight drop for Pointer, a reduction of 3.3%, sustained by works of greater added value where we're not very present. In Portobello America, as mentioned, the situation is stable in terms of revenues vis-a-vis the third quarter 24. If we exclude the tariff impact, growth would reach approximately 40%. In the next slide, we'll speak about our solid gross profit and gross margin. Despite this difficult, harsh scenario, we preserve our gross margin similar to previous quarters, and we reach 14.3%, a 8.9 percentage points growth in the U.S. operating margin. This shows that that operation was also impacted by the import tariffs. Well, let's speak about EBITDA margin that demonstrates consistency vis-a-vis previous quarters. There's a trade-off here between greater aggressiveness in our different business units, offset by significant industrial production and the expenses we're carrying out in the company. We have been able to preserve our EBITDA at a level of 14%. When it comes to the net result, we are in a situation of loss, reflecting the high financial cost environment. The average Selic in the third quarter was 10.5%. Presently, it has reached 15%. And in the second quarter, we have optimized our working capital. We focus on cash generation for the company as a whole. Let's speak about our financial performance. This is the highlight of the quarter once again. Solid and disciplined cash management. We generated a free cash flow of almost 70 million, 268 million for the year as a whole. 18-day reduction in the working capital cycle, and once again, disciplined CAPEX. We have improved our days in inventory and working with suppliers, even with the impacts caused by the USA tariffs. With all of this, we are able to preserve leverage at a comfortable level, 2.4 times over net debt over EBITDA, and we have enhanced the debt level. We had a shorter term debt, a challenge in the third quarter 24 with maturities in the short term. In the third quarter 25, our cash will cover the next 2 years and part of 2027 with a longer debt profile duration of 5.7 years. And this is the priority to improve our debt profile and to begin to obtain debt from promotion banks. Now, if you have read the release, we did this with a bank for a 7-year period in the amount of 35 million. This is not included here. It's a subsequent event. And these development bank loans is something we will increase through the coming quarters. I'll turn the floor back to John to speak about the overall outlook. As I said at the beginning, we have shown consistency in the results of each of our businesses because of the impact of the tariff shock described by Caio. It's worthwhile underscoring that this tariff initially had a negative impact on the group, but we will be growing not at a level of 3%, but 10% in the third quarter, were it not for the impact of the tariff. This difference is a difference between the volumes we had projected before the tariffs and what we truly realized in the quarter. Now, it opens up a very positive outlook for the medium term for the operation of the USA. The local production gains competitiveness because of these tariffs, regardless of their origin. Well, of course, Brazil suffered a much greater tariff, so the outlook there is positive. We don't observe this in the short term because of the increase in inventory mentioned by Caio. We estimate that the stocks will be regularized in the chain in the United States, and that this should happen at the end of this half of year or beginning of 2026, which makes the year 2026 positive for local production. In Brazil, we lose part of the exports, an important part of our business with the USA, but we gain in terms of the local production. There's an interesting movement that happened. We were producing several products in Brazil that we could have produced in the USA, of course, but because of operational issues of our customers, we maintain these in Brazil. The tariff shock accelerated this and ended up taking this project to the USA. In terms of the market, removing the impact of USA, what we see in Brazil should be repeated until the end of the year and in the coming year. We don't foresee growth for the coming year. There are some surveys that point towards an increase, but we believe that we will remain at the consumption levels we have at present in the dry production that might grow somewhat in the coming year. We're not counting with growth in the market in the fourth quarter, nor in 2026. We'll continue with the growth we have presented, gaining market share in the markets where we are active. In Brazil, yes, we maintain growth, but with a higher pace in the USA, following the strategy we have pursued in the last few years, internationalization, particularly to the USA. In Brazil, we have a growth of 12%. We have had higher growths, and we will continue to grow the coming year in our exports as well. So there is consistency in our business, consistency in our strategy if we maintain this discipline. The third quarter, as you might have observed, is the first quarter where we were not able to reduce our leverage since we took the commitment of gradually deleveraging. This happened because of the features, the tariff shock, the exchange of EBITDA that we had, and we already can see a more accentuated drop in the level of leverage at the end of the year. And the commitment, of course, remains for a reduction in 2026. We will do this maintaining our financial discipline with low investments, good levels of working capital, and a focus on free cash flow as we did this quarter. What I would like to especially underscore is that a month ago, we began a project to seek our efficiency and expenses quarter on quarter, month after month. You have seen that we maintain a discipline in expense management, SG&A costs and other expenses, so that they are kept at an adequate level according to our revenue. And we are doing this month after month through our management tools. In 2026, we have detected the opportunity of having a more structured efficiency gain, and we have contracted a consultancy integration that has been working with us for a month, working on this more structured approach, looking at our expense structure in the company, pursuing efficiency. all the way from simplification, the elimination of non-essential activities, and especially automations, reducing expenses in automation much lower than those we have at present. And this is an important movement in creating our results for 2026, not quarter on quarter. We're halfway through this work. We cannot estimate the amount of savings that we will attain, but this is work carried out by the consultancy. It's a benchmark. Don't consider this guidance. Similar projects have been carried out in the market, allowing for savings of 7 to 12%. I'll reiterate, this is not guidance. It's simply a benchmark that we're using in-house as reference to define our goal in terms of efficiency gains. It is an important movement. We will continue to grow throughout the fourth quarter and throughout 2026, maintaining that winning strategy, maintaining the profitability that we have observed, but including the efficiency gains in the company. The outlook is positive, although from the market view, perhaps not so positive. From the business viewpoint, it is positive because of our track record in previous quarters. Very well, we will now go on to our Q&A session for investors and analysts. Should you wish to pose a question in writing, please use the Q&A icon. While the Q&A session is on, please watch a video of the Portobello American business. Our first question comes from Mr. Mateos Izquierdo. He says, thank you for the presentation and congratulations for your third quarter results. Now, the expenses are a key factor with an impact on profitability. There's a need to reprofile your debt at lower interest rates. This is an imperative. If you could please comment on your present day strategy and the strides you have made in liability management, those $35 million mentioned. Was this funding granted by the BNDES? At which interest rate? And how much do you expect to obtain from development banks? And which is your vision of the ideal composition of debt between commercial institutions and development banks? Thank you, Mateo, for the question. Now, this strategy, and we have already mentioned it previously, that it is precisely what we mentioned. We have been able to lengthen the debt profile. We went to market, and this is the time to work with development banks, which will enable us to reduce the cost of debt. Besides lengthening our debt considerably, these are debts that we obtained in the first two quarters for a 5 to 7 year term. It is not with a BNDES, it's with a regional bank. The interest rate is a CDI and conditions very similar to the market. We believe it's an ideal condition between commercial banks and development banks. It's a good balance. Now, this is our first initiative. We are going to obtain more funding from them. Well, BNDES has a very good potential. We have worked with some loan lines with them for significant amounts. And throughout the coming months and the coming year, we're going to continue to capture these loans, better balancing our debt profile between commercial banks and development banks. Our next question comes from Mr. San Lorenzo. Good morning. Congratulations for your excellent results. Could you speak about the capacity of your plant in Portobello America? Thank you for the question, Lorenzo. In the third quarter, we operated at 85% capacity, and I'll make the most of your question to remark that it was a very positive quarter from the industrial viewpoint. We have reached stability, a concern in this project, significant stability at the plant, be it from the viewpoint of quality of production or from the viewpoint of labor turnover, which was one of the challenges of this project. I think we have been able to turn the page when it comes to the plant. Now, our concerns now refer to demand and inventories, but these concerns are no longer connected to challenges we faced in the plant ramp-up. We would like to remind you that should you wish to pose a question, please use the Q&A icon. Please hold while we poll for questions. Our next question comes from Mr. Thiago Nascimento. Good afternoon. With the maintenance of PBA, can you capture a dollar at lower interest rates? Now, regarding your production costs, the purchase of gas in the free market, does this already allow you to have savings? Which is the magnitude of the savings? Now, regarding this question on PBA specifically, we have already raised funds locally with a cost in dollars. This is a reality. And of course, we want the plant to become self-sufficient in terms of funding. This is our strategy, and the growth of operations in the USA will become a reality. Now, regarding the gas, unfortunately, because of the contract, we are not authorized to purchase from the free gas market that has more advantageous offers. It would allow for a material gain, of course, but I can't share with you the quantitative impact that this would have. Once again, we would like to remind you, should you wish to pose a question, please use the Q&A icon. Please hold while we poll for more questions. Our next question comes from Mr. Mateus Izquierdo. Which is the part of the sales of Portobello America corresponds to products imported from Brazil, and which is the term in which products produced locally can represent the highest sales in the USA, because the ceramic market in the USA is supplied through imports. Now, how has this dynamic impacted prices and competitive behavior? Matteo, thank you for the question once again. The project had been performing until the tariff shock came about, with 40 to 50% of products coming from Brazil. The rest was local production in the USA. That was our goal, basically, to have that ratio. And this is an important impact on the project. We lose competitiveness in that part that is imported from Brazil. We have lost two-thirds of that volume because of the tariff with variations throughout the month. On the other hand, that has given thrust to the sales of local production, but with a minor impact so far because of the level of inventories anticipating the tariffs. Now, because of this inventory level, we still do not see a practical effect demand for local production. And so far, we haven't significantly seen an impact on prices. Now, this should happen as this inventory is emptied out. I imagine the inventories will normalize in the fourth quarter or first quarter of 2026. And through time, we will observe these effects, a higher demand, a much higher demand, because there is that imbalance of 30% local production, 70% impacted by the tariff, so that local production will be benefited. And through time, we will see the impact on prices. In our business, therefore, throughout 2026, we will begin to feel this. Now, from the viewpoint of our business, initially, there will be an impact on volume of local production. And ensuing this, we will see inflation perhaps, but an improvement in mix, increases in volume, and then increases in average prices. We would like to remind you that should you wish to pose a question, please use the Q&A icon. Please hold while we pull for more questions. Our next question comes from Mr. Daniel Chavez from GTI. Could you speak more about this pursuit of efficiency gains? Which is the margin that you expect after these efficiency gains? Will you attain that in the fourth quarter 25 or only in 2026? Thank you for the question. As I remarked previously, we began that project merely 4 weeks ago. The project is still underway. We're in the phase of mapping out opportunities. We truly can't quantify what will happen. It's an idea, but it's still very difficult to refer to the magnitude of the impact it may have. It is an accounting project for efficiency gain. We're going to continue to pursue sales, to work with our strategy, but with greater efficiency when it comes to expenses. Now, the impact of this will be seen in 2026. We will not see this impact in the fourth quarter of 25. We may have an impact in the fourth quarter of 25. Some of those actions may be put in place in the fourth quarter, and the trend is that they will have a negative impact because there's always that initial cost of implementation of these projects so that then you can harvest the results going forward. We don't think it will be anything very material, but it's too early on to give you more information. Once again, should you wish to pose a question, please use the Q&A icon. Please hold while we pull for questions. Our next question comes from Andre Prates, who says, the fourth quarter webcast of 2024 said that the year 2025 would be a resumption of margins. Now, is this postponement due only to that tariff shock? Andre, thank you for the question. Well, our expectation at that point was that the main impact on profitability would be the evolution of our project in the USA. As we matured from the viewpoint of the plant and sales, we saw an increase in profitability. As Caio showed you, we did have an evolution in gross margin, but this would, of course, impact the entire group. What we see at present is that because of this tariff shock, that evolution was cut short since the end of last year. And we have mentioned this in previous calls. Since December of last year, we had reached an EBITDA break-even at Portobello America. This did not take place in the third quarter. We had a negative result because of the tariff, and this compromises profitability as a whole. Now, when we look at Brazil, we have been maintaining the profitability of our businesses, but it's not what we observe in the market. The market is quite competitive at present. Supply and demand are very similar. There's 30% of idle capacity, but the competitive environment has become ever more harsh. And this is offset with the work that we carry out with a mix of channels or mix of products. It's years. The last 2 years, last 3 years, that were quite positive from the viewpoint of product launch and the performance of a better mix that we're offering. We have made changes in the plants. We have made changes in outsourcing that make it possible to have this sales mix. All of this has mitigated that effect. But from the viewpoint of the market, there's a shrinking in margins and prices, speaking very generally. The question and answer session ends here. We would like to return the floor to Mr. John Suzuki for the closing remarks of the company. I would like to thank you all once again for your attendance. I hope that we have been able to clarify all of your doubts. We're closing, but I'm sure other doubts will appear. Our team is at your entire disposal for clarifications. We'll meet again during the next quarter. Thank you all very much. The Portobello Group video conference ends here. We would like to thank all of you for your attendance. Have an excellent afternoon.